Hello, everyone. I guess we will do this in English. Quick disclaimer, I wanted to say a bit more in this talk. There is not that much in there now. I was having some other issues in the last few days. Anyways, this is basically the story about this computer. Now, why is this a interesting story? Well, if you have met me recently, then you may have noticed that there was a lot of problems with this thing, and here I will try to explain what these issues were and why it's still worth it, or why I went through this and what you might be able to do with this. So basically, how this story started is that I was talking to a with a friend about buying a new laptop, and then back and forth and whatever, what sort of cute thing could one buy? And then I was like, ah, wait, there's all of these no name sort of random brand laptops, and they all come from Clevo, and there's this L140CU that's kind of a useful machine, and but they're still somewhat expensive. They are kind of high-end computers technically. And I was like, wait, there is a web shop in Switzerland that happens to sell these for 200 CHF. That was back a year ago, or more than a year ago. This is the website, AuderFlow.ch. And I was like, that is certainly a deal. At that price, I just ordered two. One for a friend, one for me. Very quickly after, a few days later, this box was just sitting out there in a cold January night, outside the door. It says Corsair on the box. This is literally a PC case cardboard box, but it happens to fit those two machines perfectly, so it's all fine. There are in fact two laptops in this box, and it says Corsair, but don't worry about it. And now, maybe a bit of a context about Clevo laptops. I'm used to this brand. I've known this brand for a long time. If you are somewhere in the German-speaking sphere, you might have heard about Schenker. Schenker also runs a brand known as Tuxedo. They sell computers, laptops. Tuxedo sells Linux pre-installed computers. Schenker sells mostly higher-end, customizable laptops, computers, whatever. And the thing that I used to have before, my primary laptop before, was a Clevo N130WU. That's this machine over there. It's an okay laptop. I paid a four-digit amount of euros for that. It was a good machine in 2017. But then this one. So this is actually a pure Clevo. This is not a Schenker. This is just a Clevo. It is imported by a company here in Switzerland. It's called Little Bit Technology. They are somewhat well known. If you're around in the IT scene, you might have heard about them. But these are really just off-the-shelf laptops from Taiwan, with no customizations to them. And the branding is interesting. I sadly do not have many pictures about it. What I do have is this accessory bag. I think this is the hallmark of a Clevo laptop. You get this blue cloth, a completely unbranded instruction page, and a completely unbranded driver CD-ROM in there. I have not opened this back, as you might notice. Anyways, these things are of a hallmark. They come in cardboard boxes that have some branding on them. It says laptop PC, and it's interesting. The company does not want its name on those machines. Also, this one actually has branding. If you look there, this is a random internet picture. This is not the one that I have here. Also, the firmware on those machines is interesting. Again, sadly, I forgot to document the state that these machines ship in. I had a chance to recently. This will follow later in the story. But basically, the state of the stock firmware is that if you want to install Linux on these machines, there is two NVMe. They come without storage. They come as bare bones. So you open them, put SSDs in, close them, and then they boot. There's two SSD slots, or two NVMe, two M.2 slots, both do PCI Express. So you can put NVMe SSDs in both M.2 slots. One of the two slots can boot, but it's not detected on Linux. The other one is detected in the Linux, but doesn't boot. I don't know how they even did that, but anyways. The conclusion was pretty quickly, okay, there's a reason why these things are cheap. Anyways, this was not why we bought them. We were aware of something, and that is that these machines are sold under many different brand names. And one of the more remarkable ones is the System76 company. It's a US company that imports the same Clevo laptops, but sells them with as open source as it is nowadays possible, firmware on them. So they come with Core Boot. And it happens that this specific L140CU happens to be sold as the Lemo Pro in generation or version or whatever 9, short LEMP 9. And I mean, yes, this looks very much like the same machine. So, yes. Of course, this is the second step. The first step is actually building the firmware, but that is surprisingly easy. Eventually, we will have to get custom firmware on these machines. And yes, there is an easy method where you take a clip that can connect to these SOIC8 chips in here. There's two small chips here. These are small, but they're the biggest ones on the board, so they're kind of easy to find. And they have 8 pins, and normally there's a clip that you connect to those, and then you can program those chips. It turns out that we just didn't have /find a clip. I asked multiple people who were supposed to have one, and they were either it's broken or I can't find it. And then I sold it via Amazon, because why not? I'm reasonably comfortable wiring to random stuff. Also, this is a 200 Swiss franc laptop. I might have not done that to a stock 1,500 Swiss franc, whatever thing, but okay, I bought this thing to play with it, so whatever. The solar on it gets. The other end here is a Raspberry Pi Nano. A Raspberry Pi is a pretty good platform to do these firmware flashing things because it has a pretty fast SPI, and also it can supply lots of power. The scary thing is that basically once you turn this thing on, you power up the main board through the programming cables. You disconnect the battery first, but still, the entire thing will somewhat come to life. So it is a bit scary, but it works. Nobody really ever had problems with this. I'm not sure how it works, but people do this all the time. It works. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Anyways, also use this twice because actually two chips. We will get there, I hope. And yeah, there you go. It has slight identity confusion, and now thinks it's a System76 Lemo Pro. So that was surprisingly easy. This literally happened in a few afternoons, and I had a perfectly good laptop that booted Linux perfectly fine from any SSD slot. Worked great, was happy with it. And here the story could basically end. I mean, okay, let's talk a bit more about the software. So, basically, System76 has a GitHub repo. On GitHub, it's called Firmware Open. The term is ungoogleable, but you will find it somehow. This contains all the sources you need, including the embedded controller sources, the embedded controller being the small controller on the mainboard, while the big firmware is on the SPI flash that then loads firmware onto the CPU, not the actual Intel CPU. It's kind of rare that you get embedded controller firmware as well, but it's included here, so you can build all of the stuff from source. It contains a ton of blobs. This is not a GNU whatever libreboot thing. This is a proper normal Intel ME system. But basically everything you need is in this repo. You just run the build script in there and it works. You install a shit ton of stuff before, but there's instructions, and it just worked. What this firmware actually supports is a bit less clear. Because basically, the feature matrix documents what this firmware supported on this laptop when it was released, which is 5 years ago. The reason why these machines are so cheap is because they are basically 5 years old at this point. Nowadays, it clearly my menu shows more options than the feature matrix lists. Which of these features work, we'll have to figure out. Now, this could be the end of the story, but then an incident happens. Basically, all of my stuff got stolen at some point. I lost my travel laptop. That's why I got a travel laptop anyways. Solution, just buy another one. It's a 200 Swiss franc laptop. That's why I left it unattended in places. Of course, then like opening it up, wires, holding wires on, flashing, it takes a while. So I was like, wait, we just go to GPN. At GPN, there's surely somebody who has a like SPI programming clip, right? There's like the core boot developers and shit. No, I mean, they were there, yes. It didn't work with the clip or whatever, and then somebody else soldered wires on. This was at like 4 in the morning. Maybe not the wisest of decisions. Anyways, in the end result, I had a laptop which didn't boot. And this was somewhat unclear. Like, I did check all the firmware. It read out correctly. It was exactly what we wanted to write on there. I had basically no clue. I still have no clue. So the thing just sits on a pile, like on a desk, for a few months, as things usually do. A few months later, I mean, I have disassembled it entirely, sort of try to find debug ports on the embedded controller. Turned out that they're not useful. Anyways, I reassemble the thing, like, okay, if it doesn't work, I will buy another one. I close it up, push the button, it boots. I don't know. Okay, I have a working laptop. I like that. And then I was using it for just a few weeks again, a few months again, whatever, like until this year. And at some point, like battery runs completely flat. There's a reason for that. We'll get there. I charge it and push the button, and it shows like the LEDs blink in a way that I recognize at this point, and it doesn't boot anymore. I was like, wait, but like what I did before was disassemble it entirely. That involved like disconnecting the RTC backup battery. If I unplug this, wait for a day, plug it back in, close it up, push the button, boots again. Great. Runs flat again, doesn't boot again. Okay, battery out, battery in. No, this time it's just dead. And because I didn't know what was the issue before, of course I also didn't know what was the issue after. Well, fun fact, now I know what the issue is. I just don't understand it, like, at all. Basically, when I was like, okay, now I will just buy another one. You see a theme in there. I was like, okay, look, it's broken, you can't break it anymore. Desolder the flash. I have desoldered this one before, so yeah, so I got used to it. Put wires directly on the ROM, on the ROM chip. Put it on the Raspberry Pi. Try to read it. It doesn't respond. Like I can see the waveform coming in on the oscilloscope. It doesn't come out on the other end. This ROM chip is bad for like all I can tell. That explains why it doesn't boot. But like also, how did it boot before? Like why does it just randomly break at some point? And really, like, your theories are as good as mine. I usually have sort of the joking insight that ESD is a lie and, like, ESD cannot damage components. Maybe it can, and, like, yes, there are scary stories about, like, very weird effects caused by ESD damage. Stuff, like, somewhat working, but not really. Anyways, I have no clue. New flash chips are on the way. They might have arrived in my mailbox, like, yesterday, but I don't have them yet. Anyways, solution, buy another one. At this point, the price has dropped from like 200 something to 170. So like they do get cheaper over time. Also, the stock has decreased from like 10 to 2. And I know actually where I think all of them are. Because basically either I bought them or other people bought them because I told them to. Anyways, if you want one, there's two left. Anyways, then I swapped the main board from the newer one into this one. It works again. I'm happy. Good. But we have to talk a bit about like what do we do with this? So it's pretty cool that you can get like cheap laptops that can run open firmware and you can have fun with them and like they're cheap so you can try stupid things like flash firmware at a chaos event long after midnight. And if it goes wrong, like it doesn't ruin you generally. But like even if the thing works, there's some funny bugs. Like this is a commercially sold product, like with this firmware technically. But for example, the embedded controller in there just does not go to sleep. That's normally not a huge issue, given that the thing takes like a few milliamps of current, it's like very low power. But the issue is that the EC also runs when the PC is off. So like this machine that just idles like this consumes little enough power that it will do like 20 hours on a battery charge. If you turn it off, it will still drain the battery within like a week or two. So this is a bit of a problem. This is probably why it ran flat so often previously. Also, suspend resume is like, I mean, it's always a bit flaky. I think the camera just disappears after you have suspended once and resumed. And this is probably something that could be fixed in the firmware, but also modifying PC firmware is an art that I haven't learned yet, but that I would be somewhat interested in. So there's future work to be done. And then also, like, even if you just look at the feature that exists, like, if you can modify the firmware, you can do cute things. Like, you could build a system that has secure boot, that only trusts your own secure boot keys, that has a UEFI boot menu, where you need a bootloader, you just like put a signed kernel binary as a UEFI binary onto your ESP, and then you just select it from the boot menu and boot it. Something you could do. Would be fun. Somebody TM should do that. At this point, I've basically only built a firmware once, exactly from like the master branch of the repo, plus some minor fix-ups to make it compile. At some point, somebody TM should start playing with this. Another question is sort of what can you buy? Like, I have now almost depleted the supply of like those machines. But another interesting one I saw is like the NL53NU that's a bit bigger and a bit more powerful. It's somewhat more expensive. It is basically a significantly younger Ryzen 5. The issue is this doesn't have open source firmware at all, but still you can install the System76 firmware, which they have the source code for. They haven't like, they can't publish it, but at least a somewhat competent company has like looked at it. That could be interesting. Or also there's a higher end version of this machine basically that might also just run the LAMP9 firmware. I'm not entirely sure. And basically you can assume that on this shop, like random playboards will just pop up after they are sort of post their normal sales life. That's maybe another thing to point out, that this machine is basically only 2 years younger than the one I had before. The one before was sort of a kind of clunky, like large bezel, very bad screen, whatever. Like it had all the hallmarks of like cheap laptop. While this machine basically has like a perfectly good sRGB screen, like very tiny screen bezels. It weighs like about 1 kilo. It has battery life like more than I'm bothering to count. Like, this is a very good machine. Like within just 2 years, the state of kind of no name, no brand laptops went from, yes, you can see that this is a sort of very specific product, to this is a perfectly good laptop. And yes, I mean, sort of if you look at all of the machines that you can get these days that you can run open source firmware on, there is the famous old IBM ThinkPads or like Lenovo ThinkPads as well. Those are surprisingly expensive. There is the whole scene of people playing with Chromebooks. Chromebooks are pretty fun, but Chromebooks are somehow quite hard to get in this country, this continent, not sure. But I would say, like, from my perspective, it seems like these are among the cheapest things, most accessible things you can get, where you can play with, like, building your own PC firmware and installing it and seeing what happens. And yes, like, also keep in mind, like, this was the easy part. Like, this was really just taking a completely, perfectly documented, off-the-shelf, fully supported thing, building it from source and installing it and then running it. And still things went wrong. Like, I think I had it way too easy the first time, and then like the problems came later. Still, we have like sort of in the Vega environment of where I'm around, we have a few of those. They do work, they do run with this firmware build that I made at some point one night in January. So yes, but that is basically the full story. Like, there isn't that much. Of course, the story continues. I will, of course, at some point put like a new flash chip into like the old mainboard and flash it again and see if it works, and maybe put the old firmware on to take some pictures. But yeah, go buy some cheap laptops and have fun. Questions?
So how lucky do you think, were you in general with selecting this specific laptop where you had some firmware and so on? If I would go out and just pick any OEM laptop, what's the chance of?
I think that is, it's not that low, because basically I think basically System 76 will sells a product in every like product category, and usually they pick the Clevor. So basically many Clevors end up in their sort of like in the program. But also I did not buy this randomly. Like we bought this one specifically because we knew this is a LAMP 9. So like we knew this beforehand. That is why we selected it. If you pick the random one, I think there's a much higher chance. Like even with the other one I mentioned, the i7 version, it looks like it's the same, but it might be just different enough that we cannot build the same firmware, but you need to maybe change some options. It's probably still an easy port, but like even the easy part is like not exactly trivial.
Like, how comprehensive was the original firmware on this device? Like, is there a fully workable working boot menu, or is there a UI setup tool or some kind of sort?
If you zoom in here, you can see the branding of one of the big companies. Is that Insight, I think? I don't know. Like one of the big BIOS companies, they just licensed their thing. So it is a fully featured normal PCIe BIOS interface. It has all the features you would want. Whether they work, I haven't tried. Compared to this, the core boot has no features at all. Like basically, there's no menu. Like it just boots and there's no options. If you want to change things, you just recompile the thing. Of course, this is something you could play with. Basically, it's just that System 76 ships a very minimalist payload with the core boot bootloader. I hope that's correct. You could package the core boot bootloader, which is all the hard stuff, with a much more portable, basically just take the existing source code, payload that has a more complete boot menu, more complete configuration, whatever.
So just like in the state of what is so complicated about this sleep to run, like the kind of I mean, as far as I know, there are very few laptops with open hardware that actually offer firmware that actually support this feature, like the thing, the Final Pro, no. The new ARM laptops, no. No one supports that. Why is it so complicated, or what's the unsolved mystery in this case?
I don't actually know. I mean, I can somewhat understand that the issue is that basically you have to reinitialize almost all hardware, but you're not actually rebooting. So. Like there's a reason why suspended disk is actually much easier, despite being in software way more complicated. Hardware-wise, it's just turn off, turn on again. While here you have to do something different with the hardware, and I guess like just randomly missing whatever the USB re-enumeration after repowering the USB webcam. Well, yes, then the camera is technically there, but it doesn't register on the bus, and the kernel doesn't notice it's suddenly there, and then you can just unplug it and replug it like any external device because it's in the computer. So I could see that it's something very stupid like this that could be fixed. It could be anything much more cursed. I have no idea.